Welcome to Radioactive's podcast. My name is Lola Garcia.
My name is Rogelia Sanchez.
In case you haven't heard, Radioactive is a program where kids, teens, young adults, whatever you want to call us now, come together and produce rad stuff at KUOW Public Radio in Seattle.
Today we'll be discussing mental illness and depression, which can be a huge problem for teens and adults as well.
Today's going to be a bit more serious than our last podcast. I've known people who've struggled with depression, and it's not easy to watch loved ones go through something like that. It's an interesting topic and especially awesome when you feel comfortable sharing personal stories.
Lola likes to get personal. According to World Health Organization, suicide is the second leading cause of death for 15 to 24-year-olds.
Radioactive's Carlos Nieto decided to interview his own family to see how we can better support people with mental health problems.
Hey, what's your name?
My name is Cecilia Cortez.
My sister Cecilia is 27 years old. She's 5'2". Her favorite color is black. Her favorite animal is the crow. She's always been interested in World War II. She doesn't like chocolate. And she got me interested in poetry in elementary school. She actually reminds me of Raven from Teen Titans because she used to read witchcraft books in her teenage years. During those teenage years, though, times were tough for Cecilia. She started showing signs of depression.
I felt confused, and then I started feeling mad, and then sad. By the time I was 13, I started feeling very, very sad and hopeless.
Those years were the farthest I've ever felt from my sister. Ever. Cecilia was always locked in her room and would only come out to go to the bathroom. She never wanted to talk to me. I thought it was a phase Cecilia was going through. Something she'd get over. Teenaged angst or something. Our mom thought so, too.
She thought I was just being rebellious. I was, as an outsider, she thought I was just being really rebellious and was being a problem that she had to deal with.
Our mom had gone through depression, too. During her pregnancy with Cecilia, there were family and money issues she had to deal with. For years, she struggled with it. But with a child on the way and trying to make ends meet, she endured and eventually got over her depression through sheer willpower. It was easy for her to not take Cecilia seriously when she saw depression as something to get over.
Well, the thing is, I worked all day so she stayed by herself. So in the beginning, I didn't even have time to do more. And the key was I didn't understand what was happening with her. That's what. I was in a moment where I felt my hands were tied, and I didn't know what to do.
And while our mom was struggling with what to do, and I was completely unaware of what was really going on, Cecilia's situation was only getting worse.
So that led to, when I was 13, I took some pills, some aspirin, and I overdosed on aspirin and wanted to commit suicide.
Unfortunately, it wasn't until she started hurting herself that my mom and I better understood what Cecilia was going through. After a few years of showing symptoms of depression, my sister started showing signs of bipolar disorder. She would have trouble sleeping, would have a bunch of thoughts at the same time, and her moods would change drastically from one moment to the next. And still our family didn't contact a doctor or a counselor. We let it play out. Cecilia was 16 when she started having hallucinations, which led to her being hit by a car and needing to be hospitalized. Since then, my mom and I have been in and out of mental health centers in support of Cecilia. Around 19, things started calming down for her. It took a while for doctors to prescribe the right medication. But I feel like there was a medicine that would have came more in handy than lithium or Zyprexa if we had used it since the beginning. Open dialogue. Because although talking about vulnerable feelings can be hard, avoiding those feelings and those conversations can make the person feeling them feel more alone and more reluctant to share them.
I feel like I have to hide it from most people. It's hard because you feel people are going to, judge you. You know, like, they're going to judge you that you're feeling depressed, you're feeling like that. You don't really want to talk about it because what if you're being judged, you know, you're just being, you just want to keep it to yourself.
These days, Cecilia attends weekly counseling and sees her own doctor every month. She's able to get a reduced price for her medication, She babysits every week for our neighbors. Cecilia's been going to a Jehovah's Witness church every week for the last couple of years now, and plans to get baptized in the upcoming months. Lately, she's been doing a lot of studying in preparation for the baptism. Even with so much going right, it's still hard for my mom and I to not look back and see things we could have done better. It was easy for us to not validate where Cecilia was coming from because we'd never been in a situation where, above all else, mental health was the problem. We'd never been in a situation where fixing the problem meant doing more than sucking it up, pretending it was going to be okay, and working to push those dark thoughts back.
A lot of time passed. That was the thing. I feel like that time was wasted, very wasted. That's what I did wrong. Let too much time pass and not investigate what was going on. That's what I did wrong, and I'd do it differently if I could do it again.
For Radioactive, this is Carlos Nieto.
I got to speak with Dr. Anna Ratzliff, a psychiatrist at University of Washington, who gave us the facts about depression. I found out that there are several different types of depression. So they are major depression, bipolar disorder, and adjustment disorder, which is a reaction to an event that happened in their life. So my first question for you is, what's your personal definition of depression?
So as a psychiatrist, what I really focus on is the symptoms of depression that actually cause people not to be able to function in their life. So sometimes we have, moments of sadness or periods of sadness that happen in reaction to things in our life. And if those happen transiently, that's really normal part of the emotional state of being a human. But people who have a clinical depression, they have persistent symptoms of being depressed and not being able to experience joy and pleasure in their life that really cause them to lose the things that have meaning to them, and that could be relationships, that could be work, that could be just able to basically take care of themselves when depression really gets bad.
When does depression become suicidal?
I think there are certain risk factors that make people more likely to develop suicidal ideation or thoughts of wanting to harm themselves with an active plan. And there's lots of things that contribute to that. It's more common in males, and it's more common in older people that it gets to that level. And if people are also using alcohol or other substances, or if they have chronic pain or other medical illnesses, all of those things can make it more likely that someone might actually get to the level of thinking about suicide. That the more severe depression, the more, I think people can feel like they've lost so much of in their life that they can sometimes, that's probably more likely to result in people getting to the point where they might have thoughts of not wanting to be alive or wanting to hurt themselves.
So what advice do you have for parents or family members who has kids or teens with depression?
So I think the first thing to know is there's lots and lots of great help and treatment for depression. So the first thing is to try to help your loved one get in to see care. If you're not sure whether it's depression or not, it's perfectly okay still to make an appointment with your doctor and ask them about that and have them help you figure that out. The second thing I'd say is if you're really worried about someone and they are expressing suicidality or thoughts of wanting to hurt themselves and you're at all worried about them, that is as an emergency, and that you can always seek help at an emergency room or dial 911 for help with that problem.
People with depression can receive care through their primary care doctor, and there is a crisis hotline.
Wow, she really knows her stuff. Well, I spoke with Radioactive's office assistant, Chris Odie, in hopes for an insider's input on depression. And I got a great story from him, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear it.
He will be giving some great advice for others out there struggling with depression, and even people who are watching their loved one go through depression.
I've been depressed for multiple reasons, but I get seasonal depression in the summer of all times. Yes, I was diagnosed with that. This is a really important thing because, like, the first time I was seriously depressed was 8th grade and I tried hanging myself. That was no good. I made a promise that I'd never try and kill myself again. When someone becomes suicidal, usually they start, no, this isn't always the case, but usually they start, like, getting away from their friends and secluding themselves away from other people. And that's one of the problems. It's like, when you get left alone with your thoughts, when you're depressed, you go to darker places than you've ever been in your life. That's the time in which you really need your friends and your support and help. One of the hardest things to do is actually go out and, like, talk to those people who are your friends when you're in that dark place, but you really need to try and do that. Every person exhibits signs differently, so there is no one unifying thing, because sometimes people seclude themselves away from other people because, like, there's a surprise or, like, a project or they're, like, really busy. But, like, talk to your friends, and, like, you should be able to tell by the way they act and talk, and if it's, like, the repeated same, like, not sad and mopey, but if they're not themselves continuously for, like, a week or 2 weeks straight, it might be because they have, like, a big work problem or something, but it's still something that you should talk and be like, hey, so what's up? I noticed that you've been, like, different lately. And, you know, maybe they went through a personality change. Maybe they are really busy at work, but maybe they're depressed. Maybe they need help and they're not willing to get help. And, I mean, all of those things you should ask help for, because, like, without them telling you why, and sometimes they might tell you why, and if you feel like that's not exactly true, because you can usually tell when people are lying, especially when they're good friends, then prod a little harder. If they do tell you that they absolutely don't want help, it would be a good time to take a step back. You know, it's like, be an active listener. Follow what they're saying, because, you know, if they say, you know, just leave me alone or, like, whatever, really angrily or, you know, upset, leave them alone. And if they really meant it, really just want to be left alone, then they won't apologize for that. But if they need help, they tend to say, you know, like, after the fact, they'll come to you, like, the next day or the day after that, and they'll say, I'm sorry, or something. And that's when you know they need help. They're usually going to, like, open up at that point. Not always. Sometimes it takes a little bit more pushing, but, you know, like, it's like lots of different little pieces that come together, and they all spell out, help me. Yeah, so that's what I think.
I've only known Chris for a small amount of time, but he really opened up to me, and it makes me happy to know how different we all are, even if we're all similar.
It was really brave of him to share that with us, and I'm glad to see that he's a stronger person now.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks for listening to our Not So Little podcast. You can find us at kuow.org/radioactive.
We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to ask us questions, leave us some feedback, or even just tell us how your day is going. Go ahead and send some voice recordings of yourself or just a plain old email to radioactive@kuow.org.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the Radioactive podcast on iTunes or check out our website for more links.
A big thanks to Anna Ratzliff, Chris Odi, and Carlos Nieto for their contributions to our podcast.
And thanks to our editor, Jenny Asarno, for being patient with us.
If you yourself or you know anyone who is going through depression, there's a link in the bio for a 24-hour crisis hotline where you can just chat with someone or tell them your whole life story, and they'll make you feel better, I promise. From Radioactive, this is Lola Garcia.
And this is Rogelia Sanchez.
See you tomorrow!